morning. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday, the 26th of September. Coach Mike McCarthy said, "I've never seen anything like that in all my years in football." David Marinus, who's written all of the books about presidents and also a book about Vince Lombardi, wrote in a column on Tuesday. He was in a bad mood anyhow, and he writes, "Then came the game and that last Seahawks drive and that final play in the end zone with time expired and the mind-boggling call of the replacement referee and the utterly inexplicable decision to uphold that touchdown call and the unwilling suspension of disbelief from green and gold fans everywhere." And that suspension of disbelief continues, actually, today. Everybody is still talking about this. There are so many issues at play here that we thought that we would talk about: money in football, replacement referees, the labor issues that are involved in this. How, as a player, you're able to carry on after a call like this? Why play the game if this is the kind of call that you're going to get? If there are different kinds of standards for officiating when you look at football and baseball and basketball, we'll talk about all of that this hour. Dennis Krause is joining us, and Dennis is the four-time and current Wisconsin Sportscaster of the Year. He is on-air talent and sports programming manager for Time Warner Cable Sports 32, and he is the color analyst for home games on the Milwaukee Bucks radio network and host of the pregame show Packers Game Day on the Green Bay Packers radio network. We'll be welcoming phone calls as we talk about this issue this hour. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email is talk at WPR.org, and our Facebook page, if you'd like to leave your comments there, we'd like to read them, is The Kathleen Dunn Show. Dennis Krause, hello. Thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome. Always good to visit with you, Kathleen.
Yeah, nice to have you here. Would you agree with what Mike McCarthy said? In all your years covering football, have you ever seen anything like that call?
I have not. I think it's the worst call in NFL history. I was thinking about some of the past calls that have been controversial, and you can talk about the Immaculate Reception in 72, or the Staubach pass, the Hail Mary pass in 75, or even the Mikowski instant replay from 89, which the Packers profited from. But in all those instances, the receiver actually caught the ball. There were other things at play. For instance, in the Raiders-Steelers game, was it ricocheted off a Raider or a Steeler? In the Packers game, was Mikowski over the line of scrimmage? In the Cowboys game, was Pearson guilty of interference? But in all those cases, the guy caught the ball. In this case, the Seahawks receiver didn't even catch the ball and was awarded a touchdown.
I can't imagine what it must have been like to have been on that Packers team playing that game, which was a hard game anyhow, and then have the whole game come to this referee who made the wrong call. It must have been incredibly infuriating.
Well, it is, and the key is, and this has been, I think the key now is how they respond. You know, that instant replay game in 89, which Ditka insisted the Bears media guide have an asterisk by because he didn't think the right call was made. That call itself didn't cost them the playoffs, but their season went downhill from there. They never regrouped, whether it was that or something else. They finished 6-10. I'm not going to say the Packers are going to finish 6-10 this year, but the point is how the Packers respond is almost more important now. They're already 1-2. They've already lost more regular season games this year than they did all of last year. Now, I've heard some people say, well, they're not going to make the playoffs at all. They'll finish 500. I'm not ready to go there yet because they won the Super Bowl 2 years ago when they were 10-6. But I will say this, the margin of error is much slimmer now, and that's why they can't afford to come out Sunday still thinking about Monday night and pouting about it, because the Saints are desperate. They're 0-3. And if you lose on Sunday at home, then you are in trouble.
Right. Can you please explain to me the NFL decision to uphold the touchdown call when everybody who has two good eyes could see that it was not a touchdown? How could they do that?
Well, my dad, who is a longtime factory worker and has no BS in him, he basically has a saying is, "I know what the hell I saw."
Right, he's right.
And we all know what we saw. But the NFL's spin on it is that the officials ruled it simultaneous possession, to which the receiver on offense is awarded the catch. That's what they ruled on the field, and the replay upheld that. Right or wrong, that's what they upheld.
But the game should have ended anyhow before that because there was interference in the end zone, right?
Correct. But you know what the thing of it is, and that was blatant. Everybody saw that interference. But on those jump ball situations, that is rarely called, even though it's clearly a penalty. So I'm willing to give them the pass for that, just even though it's egregious that everybody can see it. But it's rarely called. It's one of those things, it's every man for himself in that situation. You go up for the ball, and it's rarely called.
So who are these replacement referees, and are they really unqualified to call these games?
They're unqualified. In fact, there was a story out that the guy who made the call was deemed not even ready for Division I. I don't blame these guys in the sense that they're taking on a job that's bigger than them. They're taking the money, the opportunity, whatever, to prove themselves. I think the blame, if you want to say, the blame rests solely on the NFL owners in the sense, and I don't even want to say Roger Goodell, the commissioner, because he's at the mercy of the owners. He does what he's told. And the owners, I think, put low priority on settling this issue, and they waited too long, and then it became a crisis, and it's a crisis now. And I think it's biting them, even though they probably think they can survive this, and they will. I mean, they're the NFL. They can survive anything. But it's hurting their integrity, no question mm-hmm. about it.
I have read that one of the sticking points, and I wonder how large this sticking point is the league wanting to replace the pension plan with 401ks.
That's correct. I'm not going to say the officials are totally innocent in this, because wouldn't we all like to have a part-time job that pays six figures and has a pension? So they're not babes in the woods in this either. There's a meeting in the middle that has to happen. But I've always said, until this game Monday night, that the officials didn't have much leverage. Now they have some leverage because they have the court of public opinion on their side.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also true, though, isn't it, Dennis, that there's an incredible amount of money in this game, and they could afford to pay pretty good pensions, even if they don't work full-time jobs.
No question. And the thing of it is, these officials, and I don't mean to misportray them, they also are full-time businessmen that have regular, quote, regular jobs on the side and do this kind of as a hobby. So, obviously a hobby that they spend a lot of time on and that they care deeply about. I'm not mistreating them by saying that, but it's not a full-time job. So when you talk about the money in the NFL, though, I've read that call Monday night, for example, going one way instead of the other, cost gamblers at least $150 million because of that. And that's conservative. So it's big business. And I've also heard that they could settle this whole thing for essentially the price of a 30-second spot on the Super Bowl. That's
seriously
how much money. That's how much money the NFL makes.
Oh, my goodness. Well, if gamblers are upset, things are going to change, right? I've also heard that Green Bay could stand to lose a lot of money, and that's troublesome to a city like Green Bay.
Well, the story there is if they lose a home playoff game, certainly you would lose the revenue that comes from that. But, it's more basic than that. I mean, there's three things that could happen in the future for the Packers this season because of that call. Number one, it costs you home field advantage, which you're talking about the economic impact on the Green Bay community. Number two, it could cost you the division title. And number three, it might cost you a playoff berth in the first place. So we haven't heard the last of the impact of Monday night.
Mm-hmm. What did you think about the Seahawks' reaction to this? Some were troubled that they treated it as though it was, this victory when clearly they had the same eyes that everybody else had, and they didn't really win the game.
Well, I love David Marinus, and you quoted his article, and I love the book he wrote on Vince Lombardi, and I've had a chance to meet him, and he's a terrific guy. But I disagree with this column in the sense that if it was the Packers that got the call and won the game, do you really think we'd be upset about it? Do you really think we'd have the outcry locally? Certainly nationally it would be the same. My point is that no one said anything when the Packers profited in week one from a missed call on a punt return for a touchdown. Now they lost the game anyway. But if the 49ers had somehow lost the game, I guarantee you they would have said they were stolen that game because of the call or the missed call on that punt return. My point is this. We don't locally complain about stuff unless it affects us directly. And, you know, whether it's this situation or, you know, Ryan Braun, which everybody around here loves, and I understand that, but you got to understand nationally it plays differently.
Right. And yet you wish it wouldn't. You wish we would all see fairness here and the truth.
Well, ideally, yes. But, you know, what are the Seahawks supposed to say? Are they supposed to come out and say, yeah, well, we won, but it was a blown call. We shouldn't have won the game. They're not going to say that.
No.
And the Packers wouldn't have said that had they won the game.
Right. It's interesting that the New York Times had a piece on Tuesday of this week, and this was before, written before the Monday night game, in which they talked about and they just list case after case after case in an article titled "Coaches Taking Out Frustration on Replacement Officials." There has been a lot of frustration among coaches.
Well, there has been, but here's one of the things that is somewhat disappointing to me. The coaches and the players are very vocal now, and they have every right to be. I mean, it's a free country. They should speak up. But I didn't hear this hue and cry in August or over the summer or over the spring about this brewing crisis. Where were the players for their, quote, union brethren, you know, all spring and summer? Not a peep about the officials. Not a peep until it affected them and that they lost games. And then they're all over Twitter saying, the officials are costing us games. There's replacement rest brings back the regular officials. My point is, they should have done that much sooner. And it kind of strikes me as I don't want to say selfish, but you know what I'm saying. They're looking out for themselves. They got theirs last year, and they didn't really worry about the officials until it affected them.
Interesting point. Well, our phone lines are flooded, so let's welcome phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655. Dennis Krause is our guest, four-time and current Wisconsin Sportscaster of the Year, and he is also the sports programming manager for Time Warner Cable Sports. He does color analysis for home games of the Milwaukee Bucks and also hosted the pregame show Packers Game Day on the Green Bay Radio Packers Network. 800-486-8655. We're getting a lot of emails to that talk at WPR.org, and our Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show. Tim in New Berlin, hi.
Hi. I think the strike would end today if the players would exercise their power as a union and say that they will not play on Sunday if the old refs aren't back. Now, your guest said, yes, they should have done that last summer, and I agree with that. But the fact is, we're here right now. And if the players said that, then Goodall would pick up the phone and the strike would end. Now, your guest might say, well, that would be illegal and they can't do that. That's true. They could get sued, but they won't get sued because the NFL doesn't want to sue them and end the season. The NFL wants the season to continue. So a settlement would quickly be worked out, regardless of the fact that it would be technically a violation of the contract, but the NFL players, if they acted together, are holding all the cards. And if they said, we won't play on Sunday unless the old refs are back, the old refs would be back by this afternoon.
Dennis.
Well, I don't disagree with what he said, but it's not going to happen because the players don't feel that strongly about it. I mean, if they felt that strongly about it, they would have done it before. And they're not going to disrupt their family lives and their paychecks to support someone else. You can say that's wrong. That's not what this country was built on. But it's reality. And they couldn't even agree when they went on strike that all the players should have the same mindset. They're certainly not going to agree that they should have the mindset of the officials. I mean, in a great world that you're talking about, maybe, but that's not going to happen.
The NFL, of course, is getting a lot of bad press, national bad press, all over the TV networks everywhere yesterday, and it's continuing into today. Are they being forced, Dennis, to come to a more rapid settlement? Are they really at the bargaining table, do you think, today?
Well, there were reports that they were negotiating yesterday, but you know how these things go. The NFL is not going to, in the court of public opinion, make it seem like they're caving in because of the pressure. They see this as a long-term issue, and they don't want to be perceived in any way as giving in or weak because they're getting the scrutiny and this criticism. So my fear is that they will actually dig in deeper. And this thing...
Really?
Yeah, you know, I don't... well, maybe I'm wrong, but there's part of me that wonders if this thing will stretch out even longer because of this.
Greg in Turtle Lake, hi.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Did you hear that the ref that made the call was recently fired from the Lingerie League?
Well, you know, here's the thing. We can all, and we should, be upset about Monday night. But at some point, you have to turn the page. Otherwise, this whole season is going to go up in flames. Now, where the replacement officials come from, and some of them do come from the Lingerie League, no question about it, and some come from Division III college ranks, they're not ready for this. This is a tough job. I don't blame those people that they're not qualified. It's like having me teach a physics class. You know, I'm not qualified. So the point is we can dig into the backgrounds of these officials. We can see who's a fan of who. Obviously, the NFL didn't do the proper vetting. That's without question. I mean, when you have a guy that's a Saints fan on Facebook who's assigned to officiate the game, that's a joke. That's a disgrace. You have a woman who was in the World Series of Poker who's an official. I mean, this is an anti-gambling league. That looks bad. And I, to the caller's point, I agree.
Well, what were they thinking? This is a fairly important position. Who made these kinds of decisions, Dennis?
Well, it had to be the NFL officiating people, but it's clear that they kind of just did this very quickly and not as thoroughly as they should have. I mean, they looked at someone's resume and they didn't make the extra call to find out these embarrassing tidbits.
Right. It's just hard to believe, really. It's just, what? You say, what?
Well, you do, because, I mean, let's just lay it out there. The fear is, at least they should be afraid of this, I don't know if they are or not, but let's say that official had an interest in the game, or someone that had a lot of money on the game got in contact with him. And a replacement official is much more tempted, I would think, by outside influences or money to make the wrong call. I'm not saying he did that in this case. I'm just saying even the question has to be asked.
Right. Greg, thanks. Rob in Neenah. Hi, Rob.
Hi. That referee that made that call yesterday was a veteran referee sitting in the booth.
Well, he's right in the sense that the replacement officials on the field, when it goes to a replay, it's an NFL employee, a full-time official, a full-time employee that makes the ultimate call on the replay in the booth. He's right.
And he would normally go with a call on the field, though?
Not necessarily. And the caller's point is valid. All this venom directed toward the replacement officials is somewhat misdirected, because in the end, the replacement officials were powerless on that last call. It could have been overturned by a full-time NFL employee.
I see. And there was talk that he could not have gone the other way because there were thousands and thousands of people in the stands. There may have been a riot.
Well, you know, that's the thing, that the people that have charted these replacement officials have said there's a trend that they make calls based for the home team. They are clearly intimidated by the home crowd. So I can't say that was or wasn't a factor, but we all heard how loud it was there Monday night. Can you imagine the reaction if the official had come out and said, it's an interception? It's the right thing to do, obviously. It was the right call to say it was an interception, but you're right. Maybe he was afraid he wouldn't get out of there alive if he did.
Mm-hmm. Dennis Krause is our guest this hour. We're talking about that Monday night game and all of the aspects which make it an interesting conversation on many levels. Dennis is four-time and current Wisconsin Sportscaster of the Year, on-air talent and sports programming manager for Time Warner Cable Sports 32. He also does the pregame show Packers Game Day on the Green Bay Packers Radio Network and is a longtime sports analyst in the state of Wisconsin. We'll take more of your phone calls. Our lines have been very busy on this, and we have some emails we'll read. We'll also hear from Aaron Rodgers as we come out of this pause and get Dennis's comments on what Aaron Rodgers had to say. He's a quarterback that everybody listens to throughout the country, actually. 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org, and our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. A reminder, hour two, we start our book club, back-to-school book club, with, I wish he were alive to talk about this issue today, what would he say? Thomas Paine, Common Sense, hour two of our program. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. These are Aaron Rodgers' comments about Monday's game, and we'll ask Dennis to respond to them.
I got to do something that the NFL is not going to do, and I have to apologize to the fans because this is, you know, our sport is generated, the multi-billion dollar machine is generated by people who pay good money to come watch us play. And the product that's on the field is not being complimented by an appropriate set of officials. The games are getting out of control. And like I said in the first week, I said I'm okay with replacement refs as long as they don't have a direct impact on the game. Mm-hmm. Obviously last night there was a direct impact on the game and multiple plays that we'll get into. But, you know, my thing is, I just feel bad for the fans because they're paying good money to watch this. The game is being tarnished by an NFL who obviously cares more about, saving some money than having the integrity of the game diminished a little bit. But, like, let's...
I thought, Dennis, that his apology to the fans was something not too many people were talking about, and that's an important point.
It is, and you know, I applaud for Aaron Rodgers for saying what he said. He has the credibility. He has,
yes.
You know, obviously he's the MVP. He can say what he wants. He has the salary that he can withstand a possible fine. But I think in today's society, and I include myself in this, we're all so afraid to criticize if it costs us money. Or if it costs us employer loyalty, whatever you want to call it. And I applaud him for taking that stand because it would have been easy for him to say, well, you know, it's a bad call, but, you know, the NFL is great. They get more right than they get wrong, you know, whatever. He didn't mince words. He said how he felt, and I applaud that.
What about his comment that the NFL is more concerned about saving some money than the integrity of the game?
Well, I think, you know, certainly he has every reason to say that after Monday night because he feels the Packers won that game and it was taken away because the NFL in its negotiations hasn't paid the officials and the replacements made the call. I would just throw this into the equation as well. As painful as Monday night was for everybody in the state, my biggest fear about the replacement officials is not whether a team wins or loses a game. We've been talking for months about player safety. My fear is that someone is going to really, get paralyzed or hurt on a personal foul that is not called.
Oh.
And then that's even worse because we can cry all we want about a lost game. But if someone loses, their ability to function as a human being, that's much worse. And my fear is, and you saw some of the hits this weekend, very hard hits. And it's a violent game anyway,
right.
Whoever's officiating it. But you need the best qualified officials to stay on top of that game because it's so fast-moving. If you've ever watched an NFL game from ground level like I have, it's amazing the impact and the ferocity of the impact. It's like a car crash every play. And I fear that someone's really going to get hurt.
Ooh. Let's read a couple emails here, and then you can comment on them. Noah in Hudson writes, as a true blue Wisconsinite, I think we should just get rid of all union referees permanently and stick with the replacement. The union issue is more important than football. And with an entirely different viewpoint, Larry in Stevens Point writes, it seems that the labor issue involved with the official lockout is similar to the issues raised in Act 10. It's ironic that people are upset with management in this case, whereas they were unsympathetic with state and municipal employees.
Well, you're more qualified to talk about the governmental side of things. I'm going to steer away from that. But I do find it interesting that in this day and age where unions are kind of under fire, suddenly this officials' union is getting support from the most unlikely quarters.
Yes, they are. I know. It is true. And much was made, and I thought it was so interesting that people from all political perspectives could come together on this.
There's one thing that unites the state. It's the Packers.
Exactly. It sure does. Jim in Oregon. Hi.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I got two quick comments. I'm a diehard Seahawks fan, and that wasn't a win for us. we're trying to gain some respect across the country as a respectable football team, and we're not going to do it that way. If we get into the playoffs with a 10-6 record or a 9-7 record, they're going to point to that game and say, they're only in there because of that game. So now we have to win 11 or more games just to prove that we're a team to be dealt with. So if a Seahawks fan think that's a great win, then they need to have their head examined. Second of all, with the officials, everybody's talking about the integrity of the game, and they're blaming Goodell, and in some cases the referees union. What they need to look at, too, is that there are coaches and players that are getting on the field, and they're doing whatever they can to try to get away with something to help win the game or whatever. And when they get on the field and play by the rules, then they're showing that they are the ones that have the integrity. And then they can start pointing fingers at the commissioner and the replacement refs and the referees union. But until they get on the field and play within the rules, too, they don't have any reason to be talking and pointing fingers and going on Twitter and what have you.
Dennis?
Well, I mean, I think his points are legitimate. For example, one of the most vocal Packers on Twitter was T.J. Lang, and one of the Seahawks players tweeted back, maybe you should have worried about protecting the quarterback a little more than how the officials did. And so it's back and forth. You're going to get this. It's human nature in football and in life that you're going to get away with what you can get away with. And are they testing the limits? Of course they are. To his first point, I understand what he's saying about the Seahawks, but what was Pete Carroll supposed to do? Say, no, I declined the win? I mean, he's fighting for his job. He's in his third year. He probably has to make the playoffs this year. So you're going to take the win and giggle about it. I mean, why not? Most of us would. Anybody that thinks that he should have declined the win is living in a fantasy land.
Jim, thanks very much for the call. Keith in Oconto Falls, hi.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, the Aaron Rodgers clip he played where he spoke about the product, let's talk about an offensive line that allowed 8 sacks. That's what loses football games. They couldn't move the ball, and yeah, the call was bad. But what loses football games is 8 sacks on a quarterback. Thanks.
Well, I think that, you know, his opinion is shared by a lot of people, and I think the offensive line, to a large degree, is getting a pass because all the controversy on the call. Nobody can excuse what happened in the first half. I mean, it was a pitiful display, no question about it. But I was thinking, Kathleen, about the 1962 Packers that might have been the greatest team in franchise history, and they gave up 11 sacks to the Lions on Thanksgiving Day, the only loss they had that season. My point is, you can have a bad game in a season, and it doesn't mean you're all awful. They all ought to be replaced. They're an awful team, not going anywhere. Let's hold off on all that. The performance Monday night was unacceptable, no question about it. And as this week goes on, I think you'll hear more about the offensive line and probably less about the officials.
Dennis, the comments that you made about players' safety keep resonating in my mind, and they're very disturbing. For the sake of players' safety and the integrity of the game, it really would behoove everybody involved to make sure things are different here. It's a violent game as it is. If you're worried about players' safety, you would do something about this. I don't hear many people talking about that.
Well, you know, the NFL has given a lot of money, millions of dollars, in the wake of all this stuff for brain research. The other day marked the 10th anniversary of the death of Mike Webster, the former Badger great, NFL Hall of Famer with the Steelers from Tomahawk. And he had what we now can look back and say, he had these symptoms, that he had several concussions as an offensive lineman. He was maybe the best center in NFL history. And then in his post-NFL life, he had mental issues. I mean, he lived on the street for a while. He was very confused. He was hard to deal with, temperamental. And eventually, he died at the age of 50.
Mm.
Now we look back 10 years later and say, you know what? This was the start of what we should have been looking into years ago. And the NFL, to their credit, is at least researching and taking more seriously these post-concussion effects, how it affects players after they retire. As you say, Kathleen, this is a very violent sport. We love to watch it, but let's not make it what it isn't. I mean, it's down and dirty, and it affects the lives of these people that play it.
Right. We go to Zach in Appleton next. Hi, Zach.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a technical question about the review. So the play was called on the field as a touchdown, and as they reviewed the play, they couldn't really overturn it. They only had the option of saying, did he have possession or not, not whether it was an interception or it had less possession than the defender. So I guess in my mind, first question is that true? And second question, or comment really is, I guess in my mind, it really was the call on the field that was the big mishap and has nothing to do with the review because their backs are against the wall.
Well, your question is excellent. I'll try to answer it as best I can. Hopefully it's accurate. As my understanding is, the call was simultaneous possession, which goes to the offensive receiver. The replay official has a right to look at that, and the replay, because all scoring plays now are reviewed in the NFL. If the replay official feels there's indisputable evidence that the Packer, M.D. Jennings, had the ball and not the Seattle receiver, he could have said interception. He did not. He did not feel the evidence was indisputable. He felt there was a gray area there, whether it was bodies in the way or where was the ball when all the bodies were scuffling for it. The fact of the matter is he didn't overturn it.
How did you respond to this whole thing personally when you saw it, Dennis? Were you up all night worried about it, or did you say that's just football, that's the way it goes sometimes, or what?
No, that's an interesting question. You know, when I watched it happen, I was stunned that it wasn't overturned because it was pretty clear the visual evidence, I thought. And for a while, it took a while to sink in. I thought, wow, this is terrible. This is going to affect their season. This was the wrong call. The replacement officials are going to hear about it. The NFL is going to hear about it. I went to sleep for a few hours, and then I got up in the middle of the night, and it still was on my mind. I mean, I was still bothered by it. And I got up in the middle of the night and wrote a blog for sports32.com about this being the worst call ever. And I was very bothered by what I think is the callous disregard of some NFL owners. For instance, Jerry Jones was quoted as saying, I didn't see it. You know, I went to bed at halftime. I read a little blurb in the paper. Well, this is Jerry Jones. Watch your product.
Right.
That you're so, I mean, he's very influential in all of this. And for him to say that so flippantly, I guarantee you, if it were the Cowboys involved, he'd be more passionate about it.
Dennis Krause is our guest this hour, and we're talking about the Monday night call and all of that means. And it's a big deal, of course, here in Wisconsin, where the Packers are our Sunday church for a lot of people. It's a religion in this state, isn't it? That's true. He is sports programming manager for Time Warner Cable Sports 32, host of Sports 32 Roundtable, Dennis Krause's show, and he is host of the pregame show, Packers Game Day, on the Green Bay Packers Radio Network. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. One line is open for you right now if you'd like to comment. You can also leave Facebook messages at the Kathleen Dunn Show, and our email is talk@WPR.org. This is the IDEA Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hour two of our program today, we're excited about our first back-to-school book club. It's Thomas Paine's Common Sense, an extraordinarily important piece of writing that may have sparked the revolution. So that's hour two of our show. Dennis Krause is with us now, and our phone number for this hour is 800-486-8655. Another email, Dennis. Larry in Madison writes, any other team than the publicly owned Packers, would there be a quicker resolution to the dispute? Right now, no team owner's personal team's pocketbook has been hurt.
Well, I think it's a very fair question. I would look at it two ways. Yes, I think the Packers are hurt sometimes by not having an obnoxious, single, rich, wealthy, powerful owner like Jerry Jones who can stomp his feet and cry outrageous things. But on the other hand, you could make a case that the NFL is actually going to hear more about this because there's, what, hundreds of thousands of Packers stockholders around the country. So, yes and no. I think it does hurt the Packers at times. I'm not going to – and even Andrew Brandt, who used to work for the Packers, has said that there was a perception that at times – the Packers were treated differently because they didn't have that wealthy owner making noise.
Do you have any idea how many Packers fans got a hold of Roger Goodell yesterday?
Well, I think you'd have to ask Mr. Erpenbach that, wouldn't you? I don't know for sure, but I'm sure a lot.
I'm sure you're right. Kevin in La Crosse is next. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, how's it going?
All right, how are you?
Good.
Good.
I'd just like to comment about the players not saying anything over the spring and summer months. I really agree with that. However, Aaron Rodgers actually alluded to this in his talk. I don't think that the players in their wildest dreams ever thought it would be this bad.
Well, I agree. I mean, I'm not saying the players are any differently, acting any differently than I would have in that situation. You worry about yourself first. I mean, it's nice to say, well, they should have spoken out sooner, and I can say that. But in reality, we all know why they didn't, because when it doesn't affect you and your paycheck, you usually don't talk as quickly. I would agree that they didn't think it was going to be this bad. They thought the NFL probably would hire better officials. But you have to remember that the major conferences sided in college football, sided with the pro officials. So, for example, the NFL couldn't pluck major Division I conference officials. That's why they had to reach down to Division III in the lingerie league and wherever you want to say. For instance, the supervisor of Big Ten officials is Bill Carollo from the Milwaukee area, a longtime great official in the NFL. Even if they wanted to, he wouldn't have taken it because they're supporting the officials that are on lockout, I guess you want to call it right now.
Thanks, Kevin, for the call. Dave in Wisconsin Rapids. Hi.
Good morning, Kathleen, your guest. Thanks for the opportunity. I think the call speaks for itself. I see this kind of from a little different, kind of an ironic angle, in that the owners, of course, are responsible for this fiasco, and I think it's important to look at them. Some of them, I understand, are friends of one of our presidential candidates, and they make their factories, the stadiums around the country that they play in, are built by public. So they're right away, right off the bat, we're dealing with a kind of a form of perverted socialism here, and the fact that they are able, seemingly, to forget about the integrity of their game in order to make this point and break this union, so they can have a few more dollars, I presume. They certainly don't have enough money yet.
All right, Dennis, Dave, your phone is cracking up on us, but we get your point here. Dennis?
Well, I mean, I'm certainly aware of what he's talking about. I'm not sure I'm the best person to address the issue, but I would also say this. The last thing the NFL wants is for the government to get involved, because they have their own rules and they've been able to basically have a monopoly for years. And so his point is valid in the sense that I don't think we want to scratch under that rock too much. You know, the NFL doesn't want us to anyway. So that's the public pressure is good in this situation, because it lets the NFL know that you might be king now anyway, but you still have to respect your fans and respect, as you said, Kathleen, common sense. I mean, common sense tells you
right.
The right call wasn't made Monday night.
Oh, Thomas Paine, you live on in football in 2012. Isn't that something? How, when you talk about government getting involved, is the government at all close to getting involved in this?
I don't think so, but they have, you know, there's been other issues, whether it's league blackouts, the blackout policy for television, new stadiums like you talked about. I think the government, as you talk about every day, I'm sure has plenty on their plate. But it's popular with their constituents to somehow try to sway things in professional sports sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Aaron in Sparta, hi.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes, Aaron, go ahead.
I just wanted to comment on the safety issue. I've been watching not only the Monday night game, but other games where I believe I've noticed a lot more helmet-to-helmet contact and face masks that aren't being called. And I just kind of think that I understand that the penalty itself is supposed to be a deterrent for players to do that. And if they're not getting called on those helmets or the face masks, the players are at greater risk of being injured.
Well, she's 100% right. I mean, those are the hits we're talking about that cause the lasting damage that we fear. And I've seen some hits the last few weeks. I'm not just saying this because of the replacement officials. The game is violent anyway. But I've seen some hits the last couple of weeks where I thought, oh, my gosh, how is that guy going to even get up? And they get up smiling, and they go on to the next play. Now, I don't know 10 years from now whether it'll have an impact or not. But the point is that she's making, the helmet-to-helmet hits are brutal. And hopefully this situation can be worked out, because I think the regular officials know what to look for. They have so much to look for as it is. Is a guy holding? Is he inbounds? Is the play clock? What's the play clock? You know, they have so much, and there's several of them, so they have individual responsibilities. But they're already looking for so many things that it's overwhelming, I think, for these replacement officials to also worry about every hit on the field.
Dennis, who does the best officiating? If you look at baseball, basketball, soccer, football?
Well, that's a great question. You know, basketball obviously had the problems with Tim Donaghy, so I'd be stupid to say basketball, because they've had issues. You look at baseball, and I think that baseball, the replay that's been brought into baseball on a limited basis has helped. There have been missed calls in baseball, certainly. You can think through the years, the Denkinger play in 85, the perfect game that wasn't just last year, I think it was. So it's not like they're perfect, but I think baseball umpires, for the most part, I off the top of my head, without looking at the evidence through the years, that would be my answer.
Gary in Milwaukee, hi. Hey there,
good
Gary.
Good morning. How
hi.
Are you?
All right. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Say, shouldn't the play have ended on an offensive pass interference call?
Yes. And the NFL, in the statement that they issued yesterday, which was, in my opinion, an insult to fans, they did acknowledge that should have been called, which it's kind of hard to not say that because we all saw that.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said at the top of the show, seldom in that situation is that called. Is it right that it's not called? But it's seldom called. So even if they call it, though, it is the end of the game. No question about it.
Hmm. Thanks, Gary, for the call. Tom in Boston. Hi.
Yes. What would have happened if the Packers would not come back on the field so they could not have kicked the extra point?
I assume that what they would have done is had the Seahawks kick the extra point against Air, and it would have counted. But it's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. And I think the Packers showed a lot of class in two fronts after the game. Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers live on ESPN, I thought, were much more reserved than I would have been had I been in that situation. And secondly, to even send your players out there. So basically, you've taken the game from us, and then you come in the locker room and say, we have to send 11 players out for a meaningless extra point in a game that you stole from us. And they did it. Why did they do it? Professionalism. And that, I think, that attitude will help them get over this quickly.
You don't think they had to be talked into it?
I'm sure they had to be talked into it. Maybe ordered to do it.
So it was persuasive rhetoric.
Yeah, and I'm sure it wasn't something they wanted to do, but it's kind of the rules of the game.
Mm-hmm. Tom, thanks for the call. Our number, by the way, we have a few minutes left in this show. Our lines have been busy, but oh no, you can't get it right now. I'm sorry, somebody's calling in, but there'll be an opening. 800-486-8655 is our number. Dave in Wanakee, hi.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
I think it's kind of, ironic or surprising to me that people I know who cheered on Ronald Reagan firing the air traffic controllers, and that put our air lanes at, you know, safety risk, they were okay with that. But if you interfere with their entertainment, well, we got to settle a strike.
Dennis.
Well, again, I'm not sure I'm the most qualified. However, I detect in his voice cutting through everything, and the point is that he's making, there's a lot more important things in the world for all of us to be concerned with than whether the call was right Monday night or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with him there.
But why is it that we become so passionate about this issue? It is true there are so many other issues, too, as some people have written in. Why aren't you talking about fracking in Wisconsin? How can you talk about football? What about what's going on in Libya and the assassination of our ambassador, that we get more worked up about this?
I wish I knew. I think that, like you said earlier, the Packers have become a state religion, and the NFL nationally has become so big. And even as a sportscaster, in my mind, too big. I mean, come on. If you compare Monday night with what happened in Libya, there's no comparison.
Right.
You know, what's more important in the grand scheme of things. But we've become, and I'm not qualified to say this, but I think we've become such an escapist society that we look for relief. We look to the minutia to occupy our minds so that we don't think about the bigger things that really should frighten us.
Mm-hmm. Greg in Glidden, hi.
Hi. How are you doing?
All right, how are you?
Good.
Good.
I think these officials need to be replaced, period. These replacement officials is an absolute travesty of justice.
I think, you know, his opinion is shared by a lot of people, and even if it is settled, let's say now, can they get the officials ready to go for this weekend? I don't know. Remember, there's a game already Thursday night. So it would be tomorrow night already. I don't think there's any way in the world, even if they settle today, maybe I shouldn't say that, but I'd find it unlikely that regular officials under any circumstances could do tomorrow night's game.
Hmm. Is there any chance they're going to settle today?
Well, sure, there's always a chance. But again, I go back to what I said earlier. My fear is that if the NFL caves right now, that's how it's going to be portrayed, that they're caving. And you got very strong-willed owners that have made millions of dollars in business by being tough negotiators in their individual entities. They're not about to tuck their, you know, head and run right now. They're going to dig in my opinion.
Greg, thanks for the call. Steve in Woodman, hi.
Hi. I was just going to ask your guest if there had ever been any consideration given to having like a panel supreme officiating of these games, so that a really bad call like this that could affect a team's entire season couldn't be overturned and the game awarded to the team that deserved it?
Well, you know, first of all, there's two points to be made. There is an officiating committee that reviews every call made every week. The second thing is they're never going to reverse a game. I think there's a rule, in fact, because of all the money gambled, probably that's one of the reasons why. But they are never going to reverse a decision. So people thinking they were going to call that a Packers win were blowing in the wind. I mean, that was never going to happen. The best case scenario would have been for the NFL to fall on the sword yesterday and apologize, and we saw they didn't do that. So while it might make sense to us, it's not going to happen.
Thanks for the call. John in Green Bay, hi.
Hello, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
What's happened, happened. And this is going to be, this could be the best thing for the Packers thus far this year. They've been playing mediocre thus far, and it's a good wake-up call. Vince Lombardi would not have sat back. I mean, a mediocre high school coach ought to be able to get these guys fired up to play football. And, you know, this could be the Oakland game with Brett Favre, when he's just a world beater. And that's what we got to look forward to. This is football. That's the way the game's played.
Dennis.
Well, I think his mentality is the one that the Packers should have. Whether they do have or not, I don't know. But he's exactly right. You have to move on. Whether it's a bitter pill to swallow, you know, we all know it was. But you have to somehow focus on Sunday because, like I said, if you lose Sunday to the Saints and you drop to 1-3, then you do have a crisis. And I'm not talking about replacement officials. The Packers are 1-2 for a lot more reasons than just replacement officials. Whether you want to say offensive line, whether you want to say they were totally dominated by at home by the 49ers, they're not just 1-2 because of a bad call Monday night. They have their own issues.
Thanks, John, for the call. We go to Todd. Hi, Todd in Minung. Hi.
Hi. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Todd.
Hey.
good to hear you. I listen to you all the time.
Appreciate
it. But here's my points I want to make. Number one, as far as officiating goes, with all this whining and crybabying, these guys are right about 98% of the time. And people are always, you know, they go by, well, was it for their team or against them? But they're right almost all the time.
Is that true with these replacement refs? Are they right most of the time, Dennis?
No, they're not. And his point is right about the regular officials, but I saw that, I forget this exact stat, but the amount of overturned calls on challenges during these 3 weeks is in a very high number.
Mm.
So the point is, these replacement officials are not right 98% of the time. The regular officials might be, but these guys aren't.
Mm. Oh, Dennis, we could have gone for hours and hours. We're just flooded with phone calls, and I thank you so much for your expertise and for being with us this hour.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Thanks, Dennis. Dennis Krause, our guest. Dennis is the four-time and current Wisconsin Sportscaster of the Year, highly respected in the field. He is the sports programming manager for Time Warner Cable Sports 32, the host of Sports 32 Roundtable, the Dennis Krause Show, Inside Marquette Basketball, color analyst for home games on the Milwaukee Bucks radio network, and also host of the pregame show Packers Game Day on the Green Bay Packers radio network. Thanks for all of your calls, everybody. We'll talk some, I think the hours go well together, don't they? Common sense, the second hour of our program. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning and Brett Jaspers, who produced this program. It is the beginning of our back-to-school book club. I'm looking forward to the next hour, and I'm sure many of you who've read the book are as well. So stay with us. More to come.